L'officiel.
Court is now in session.
Have you ever heard of L'officiel? If you haven't, and you're a freelancer, it's probably a good thing, because you may have been tempted to work for them, and there's a chance that you wouldn't have gotten paid.
They say there's no good news.
That montage that you heard in the beginning was from a video by the company on how to pronounce its name. And perhaps they need people to be able to pronounce it correctly in court, because that appears to be where they're heading in New York. If you aren't familiar with L'officiel, they are a high fashion, celebrity, lifestyle, art, creative world brand, similar to like Vogue or W. And this is not a minor company. They have brand presence or additions all around the world. Paris, Philippines, Australia, Lithuania, Manila. This is a major brand. And they shoot covers and do interviews for the likes of Maluma, Beyonce, Katy Perry, you name it. So of course, there's also a L'officiel USA. And that branch is being sued by New York City for failing to pay freelance invoices and for violating the city's freelance contract regulations. So, I am Isha Anai, and I am joined today by my co-host, the Anonymous K9. I am your pitbull. And it is most necessary for us to have her present for this episode, because we may have to have her call her crew, and we may have to send the dog pack after these folks who don't want to pay their bills. Let's get into it. New York City has filed a lawsuit with the New York Supreme Court on behalf of freelancers. And in that legal filing, the city claims that this French magazine brand had a, quote, egregious pattern or practice of unlawfully failing to compensate, or in some cases, to timely compensate, at least 24 freelance workers. So Peter Hatch, who is the commissioner of the Department of Consumer and Worker Protection, which is also known as DCWP, described this case as corporate theft from New York City's industrious creatives. That's right, corporate theft. And when freelancers aren't paid, this is really what it amounts to. Theft, fraud, I mean, you can choose. But the point is, when you obtain a product or a service under the false pretenses of you're going to give me this and I'll give you that, but you don't come through with your part of the deal, and you take what you got and use it for commercial purposes, you're gypping people. Point blank, period. It's just like getting a car. If you take out a loan on a car and you don't make payments, they'll try to repossess it. But if you make it so that they can't get that vehicle back or get the money, the bank is going to take legal action against you, because they're going to assume that you're intentionally being shiesty. So this case for the freelancers is being pursued under New York's Freelance Isn't Free law. And according to the documents, the Freelance Isn't Free Act, or FIFA, as they refer to it in many cases, was enacted to ensure that freelancers aren't taken advantage of, at least not in New York City. So this freelancer law, FIFA, works by allowing freelancers to report when they aren't paid. So they file a complaint with the Department of Consumer and Worker Protection, or DCWP. Then basically DCWP sends a notice out to the client who reportedly hasn't paid, and they give that company or that individual 20 days to see what's good. Like, did you pay what you owe? If not, why? FIFA was enacted in 2017. And since that time, as of November 2021, New York City has received 24 complaints about L'officiel regarding some degree of non-payment. And some of those complaints include other alleged violations, such as not writing a contract or, you know, retaliating against freelancers, which is included in this lawsuit. So when the city got the complaints, then sent out letters to L'Officiel. According to the court documents, in each of those 24 cases, one of two things happened. The company either didn't pay the freelancer for all of the work that they did, or hasn't paid the freelancer at all. In addition, according to New York City, in all except for two cases, L'Officiel didn't even respond to the city's inquiries. They just blew the city off, basically. And in those two cases, L'Officiel USA did make some form of payment. So here you have 24 cases. In two cases, the freelancers basically had to wring money out of this company with the threat of government intervention. And in the rest of the cases, L'Officiel USA is still on deadbeat daddy status.
See, you guys are deadbeats and shit. I had to do something to get you going.
So what type of corporate theft are we talking about? How much money are we talking about? Well, the short answer is this company spread its alleged dirty deeds across a wide range of freelancers. I'm talking writers, videographers, photographers, design and layout. And with regards to the money, in some cases, the company owes hundreds of dollars. And in some cases, the company owes thousands of dollars. For example, on the lower end, in the case of Carolyn Hansen. Now, she was a staff writer for L'Officiel for a few months, left that position, and agreed to produce three articles on a freelance basis for $550. One of those pieces required her to go to LA, meaning she had travel and accommodation costs. I don't even see how she was going to come out anyway, producing three articles and paying for a trip to LA for $550, but according to the paperwork, she wasn't to be reimbursed for the expenses from the trip. So the deal is three articles, $550. Nonetheless, she completes all of the work. It was published with her byline, and she was never paid anything. Tracy Parks. She was hired as a freelance copy editor for an issue. So the deal was, they negotiated that this was a job that would take 50 hours and she'd get $2,000, which equals out to $40 an hour. Then when it became clear that the job would take more than 50 hours, L'Officiel agreed to pay the rate of $40 an hour for the additional work. She eventually billed 125 hours for her work, which came to $5,000. And as you guessed, she didn't get paid. So she filed a complaint with the city, accusing the company of failing to pay on time, refusing to provide a written contract, and refusing to provide the required terms in a contract. Now, in most cases, we would be like, hold up. If she didn't get a contract, that's on her. But this is not most cases. This is New York City. And in New York City, contracts are required when there's more than $800 worth of work involved in a period of 120 days. So if the job is going to involve more than $800 worth of work, a company like L'Officiel has to have a contract in place. Now, whether she should have, for added protection, still required a contract, well, that's another conversation for another day. So after she filed a complaint, L'Officiel wrote to her and apologized for not paying her, and they offered to add 5% interest for being late. So this boosts her invoice from $5,000 to $5,250. When it seemed like the FIFA complaint wasn't bringing in her money, Parks actually also went to small claims court, and she won. She got a judgment in her favor. So once again, the company reached out. They admitted that they owed her the money. They showered her with more apology, and they said they would pay her, but they needed to settle up with a payment plan.
What the hell?
Yes, a payment plan, like buy now, pay later. I mean, I don't know where they do that at. Maybe, you know, that's something that they have in France where you go out and you hire a freelancer and then you get to work and then you can't pay for it and then you decide that you're going to develop a payment plan. So anyway, that offer was made in December 2019. As of November 29th, 2021, 2 years later, she hadn't received anything. Mind you, this is a company that offered to pay with interest. Another case, Brandon Quigley. He was tapped for art direction and production services. So per his agreement, he would be paid $700 for any full day of work, $90 an hour for partial days, and $180 anytime he was needed for either overtime or for rush work. So between October and November of 2019, he worked at all of those different rates, the full day, the hourly rate, the rush hours, he had all of those. And in total, he submitted two invoices that came to $18,820. So he's going back and forth with the representatives of the company trying to get his money. And they acknowledged that they owed him. He also was showered with apologies. And then guess what they did? They asked to settle their debt with a payment plan. So he asked to have the payment plan details in writing. About 2.5 months go past. And when there still wasn't any money flowing his way, he filed a complaint with New York City. By mid-May, this is over 6 months after the first invoice, the company reaches out and offers to pay him $5,600. Yes, that is $5,600 that they offered to pay out of $18,820.
You're kidding.
And they did make a payment, but it was only $3,500. So, in the city's lawsuit, Mr. Quigley is listed as still being owed $15,320 until this day. Another thing about the Freelance Isn't Free Act that a lot of people may not realize, in addition to the fact that it exists, because a lot of people don't even know that FIFA is out there, but this law allows freelancers to increase the amount that they're seeking if they have to go through the trouble of bringing a legal complaint against a client. So the law allows freelancers to collect double plus their legal fees if they aren't fully paid on time. Now, reading through the cases, the company had a habit of not only stiffing these freelancers, but of publishing the work, giving the freelancers credit either in the masthead or with a byline or whatever. And in a lot of cases, according to the documents, this work is still up on their website or on their YouTube channel or wherever they posted it. So it's not like they're pretending that this work didn't come from this person or the person didn't do the job or they never received the product. The work is out there in the public. So it's unclear if they thought like this was a game or they thought that they had enough clout, but NYC is showing them the city is not playing. And one of the ways it's doing that is that, as I said, the law allows you to go after double. NYC is going after double the amount that each one of these 24 freelancers is owed. Plus, NYC is asking the court to make L'Officiel pay civil penalties to the city and to get a court monitor at the company's expense to whom they'll submit monthly documentation showing that they comply with FIFA and that they're paying freelancers on time. And if they don't want to do that, then the city is asking the court to make a stipulation that they would face a $10,000 penalty per subsequent violation. Because according to the city, the defendant, L'Officiel, has unjustly benefited and continues to unjustly benefit from skilled work performed by countless freelancers, causing great harm to the freelance workers and to the city as a whole. That's what they wrote in legal documents. We will not allow L'Officiel to get away with reaping the benefits of our talented freelancers without paying them for their hard work. To those who break the law, New York City will hold you accountable. That was a statement from the former mayor, Bill de Blasio. So yes, this situation has even rose to the level of getting attention from the mayor. Furthermore, DCWP Commissioner Peter A. Hatch, he said, these freelancers had to fight too hard and too long to get paid. Despite our best efforts to support compliance, L'Officiel continues to flout the law. So we had to sue to recover the money it owes workers. L'Officiel and all hiring parties should know that NYC will fight for its freelancers. And he encourages any other freelancers who work for this company and didn't get paid to contact the department. Because think about it, there's good cause for the city to have this type of law and to take up action on behalf of these freelancers. Because back around the time that the FIFA law was developed, it was estimated that there were about 4 million freelancers in and around New York City. So if the city's freelance population is following the trend of the overall freelance population, it has grown since 2016-2017, and it's continuing to grow. And when freelancers don't get their money, guess what? That means the government doesn't get its money. So not paying a freelancer shoves a stiff one to the freelancer and to the government, which NYC clearly said in its court filing. And get this, the city said that L'Officiel actually sent some of these freelancers that are in the lawsuit 1099 tax documents for money that the company had never paid. Meaning the company is writing off unpaid invoices on their taxes and placing the burden on the freelancer to pay tax on money that they haven't even received yet, allegedly. I mean, it seems to me that that could or should lead to another legal issue, but I mean, that is also another story, I suppose. So they're facing this lawsuit because they can't seem to get money that's past due to the freelancers who earned it. And when they do decide that they are gonna pay, they wanna put it on a payment plan, and then they still don't pay. But at the end of November, that's November 2021, which is about the same time that this lawsuit was filed, guess what L'Officiel was doing? According to the New York Post, the company threw a, quote, highfalutin party at the swanky Miami Beach Edition Hotel to celebrate its art and design issue. According to Page Six, Stefano Tonci, who previously edited for W, he cut ties with L'Officiel in solidarity with these unpaid freelancers. Tonci was reportedly a consulting chief creative officer, which sounds like a fancy way of just saying you were a consultant. But still, he decided to sever ties with the publication, allegedly due to his solidarity for freelancers. You have to wonder, though, like, did he really do it for that reason? Or even if that was his primary reason, was he getting paid? And even if he was getting paid, was part of the reason that he was in fear that he would reach a situation where he wasn't getting paid, since he was not an employee either? And this is why I tell freelancers, don't be mesmerized by any name other than your own. And don't think that some company or some publication has too much prestige to be bothered with paperwork, because that's how they get you. You're so impressed with their name and you're so willing to just rush and jump and bend and bow to do whatever it is that they want you to do. And while you're starstruck, they're robbing you. And this New York case with L'Officiel, this isn't the first time that this company has gotten attention or headlines for not paying freelancers. In January 2021, WWD reported that dozens of writers, photographers, stylists, other creatives who have done freelance work for this publication have been chasing down what they're owed for more than a year. And now they're looking to French courts to help them in their effort to get paid. According to WWD, at that time, it was thought that the publisher, the parent company, owes around 500 people across the US, London, Paris, Italy, Switzerland, which in Switzerland, there's reportedly a legal verdict over freelance payment that's already been entered against the publication. And those owed amounts, the total that they were believed to have owed, whether it was L'Officiel USA or some of the branches abroad, was over 2 million euros. Now, what 2 million euros is depends on the date and the exchange rate. But as of today, 2 million euros is over $2.2 million. And although the company reportedly reached out to some of these other freelancers elsewhere that they owed in other cases, they were only offering to pay 40% of what these people billed. And to make matters worse, for those people who I guess agreed to this, many still weren't paid. Just like in New York City. By September, reports said this company was promising to pay within 6 months. So you're talking about people who came in to 2021 looking for their money. The whole year passed and they still can't even expect to get it until a full quarter into 2022. And when WWD spoke to Benjamin Emer, he's part of the Jalo family, which owns L'Officiel, it's like the parent company of the whole thing. Emer, he's the CEO. He didn't even deny that many of the freelancers in his publications have gone unpaid for work that has already been published and publicized and used for commercial purposes. To him, this is like part of the game. As he explained it, he said, quote, "In any business, there's often a delay of payment for an invoice. It also depends on the reality of the execution of the job." He also cited something about the coronavirus pandemic as, you know, causing a delay, and said that there was an ongoing process of, quote, addressing each invoice. Okay, we know how this company seems to address unpaid invoices, which is tell you they're sorry, ask you for a payment plan, or either ask you to accept less money and not to pay you anyway. That's addressing an invoice? Is that the idea? I mean, come on, really? Coronavirus? Coronavirus is a driving factor in what you do, but yet last month, Moet and Chandon and L'Officiel had what L'Officiel describes as a chic party to celebrate 100 years of fashion and champagne and to taste the newly rediscovered Grand Vintage Collection 1921. So in addition to the highfalutin party in Miami, now you're having another 100 years of fashion and champagne party to sip a 1921 collection, and coronavirus is a driving factor in your finances and how you operate and what you got going on. No, sir. These payment problems started hitting the radar in like 2018. So which coronavirus was creating these problems? I mean, was it MERS? Because in 2018, it damn sure wasn't COVID-19. Maybe it was COVID-18.
Remember when Kellyanne Conway suggested that there were 18 other COVIDs?
This is COVID-19, not COVID-1, folks. People should know the facts.
Yeah, maybe somehow L'Officiel found one of those that no one, you know, else on earth knows about. But I guess when you're swanky and you're high fashion, you know, it's possible that you have other things that other people don't have. I don't know. But coronavirus, we're going to have to let the gavel drop on that one. We're just not accepting that. People try to blame the pandemic for a whole lot of things. In some cases, it's true. And then in some cases like this, it's just unbelievable. So there you have it. If you enjoyed this podcast, please be sure to subscribe wherever you clicked into this podcast. And if you would like to show some love and support for content like this, you will find the PayPal and Cash App details wherever you clicked into this podcast. As always, any and everything is appreciated. Until next time, peace.